Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block. Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Go, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slammed up.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
And a good Tuesday morning, Philadelphia. I'm Andrew Sal. Tune us in for Anthony today. He will be back tomorrow. Connor Thomas is always sitting in my chair today, so I thank Connor for sticking around and not going outside with his fellow morning show folk who are about to witness probably the greatest scene of athleticism of all time, the 40-yard dash between Jamie Lynch and Pat Egan. I have my money on Pat Egan.
Oh, I'm going on Jamie.
Well, I have seen Jamie run. Playing for the company softball team.
Oh, not
Once
great.
Once Jamie gets going, he actually moves pretty well. I have seen him almost take down the entire cage behind home plate on a softball field. I'm not
joking. No brakes on that train.
Like, I'm not joking. I have seen the cage come out of the ground. But that's once he gets going. I don't know how much time it is to get going until Pat wins. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
So that's why I have my money on Pat Egan. That's probably going to be all the sports we talk about today. Just kidding. A lot to get into today. And we'll start with the baseball team because it looks like they're obviously getting some buzz in the city right now. I was driving home yesterday after the show and I was listening to Mike Missanelli. And he opened the show up with the Phillies because he sensed what I heard a lot during the show yesterday. There's a lot of positive vibes surrounding the Phillies right now. And you know me, I was Mr. Chunas train, right? I thought, hey, if you can get on a little bit of a roll going into the All-Star break, which then takes you a little bit closer to the trade deadline, and if you continue to go on a roll heading into the trade deadline, you make some moves, this division isn't all that good. The premise of the Chunas train was this division sucks, the Phillies were the healthiest team out of the other squads, and we talked about the schedule being one of the easiest ones throughout Major League Baseball. And they got on that roll heading into the All-Star break, beating the Padres in a series which, to me, basically kept them afloat this year. Then they take 3 of 4 against the Cubs, and then winning that series in Boston heading into the All-Star break shocked me, you know, to my core. I couldn't believe it because they lose game one of that series, and then they win the next two, and one of them was a Matt Moore start. But the Phillies got on that roll. So mission accomplished. First mission accomplished. Going on the roll, heading to the All-Star break. The problem is they did not continue that roll coming out of the All-Star break. They won that series with the Marlins, all right, but then they struggled a little bit. Obviously, they lost both games against the Yankees. They split the series with the Braves. They split the series with the Nationals. And that series against the Nationals, they should have easily taken 3 of 4. They did not. So mission number two, not accomplished because heading into the trade deadline, they were not as good of a role as I hoped or expect them to be on. But then they made the moves at the deadline. And I know there are people that question the moves. We have my man John Hazelton, who I love talking baseball with. He calls in yesterday and he hated the moves. I thought the moves were good. I thought they were moves for a team that doesn't really know where they're at, whether they should have been buyers or they should have been sellers. They didn't pay all that much to get it. Getting rid of, giving up on Spencer Howard? No, they didn't give up on him. They knew he was pretty much done here. The guy could not give you more than 3 innings of work, so you bring in a guy who's probably going to consistently give you 6 innings of work. Ian Kennedy, his 2 outings so far, looked pretty gross, but I will also say extremely poorly managed by Joe Girardi. You warm him up 3 days ago in a tie game in the 9th inning against the Pirates, and you decide not to go with him. You go with Alvarado, who gives up the run. Then you pitch him in the 15-2 blowout. He gives up 2 runs. I don't think it's because he stinks. I think it's because he's going out there in a mop-up role. Obviously, going on the mound is a little bit different when you're up 15-2 as opposed to 2-1. Yesterday, then, gives up the 2-run home run. But I don't think it's necessarily a good idea to warm him up, have him throw over 20 pitches, and then have him pitch 3 days in a row, technically. And it's been the first time all season that Ian Kennedy has pitched in back-to-back days when the first day he threw over 20 pitches. First day all season, and Joe Girardi decides to do that yesterday in a non-safe situation. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. But here we are. on August the 3rd. And yesterday, before the win, which was a good win for the Phillies, a good start to the week, everything went perfectly for them. They win, the Mets lose. The Braves didn't play, so you only gained a half a game up in front of the Braves, who are in third in the NL East. But the Phillies win, Mets lose. What you asked for yesterday happened. And during the show from 10 to 2 yesterday with Connor and I, and then I heard it continued with Mike on my way home, and then I had to do some other things as well, which I'll get into later today. I love my dog. A lot of positive talk, a lot of positive vibes. Now, I threw the hype hat out the window. I threw out the Homer hat out the window. Or I left it on the train because I'm not on the train right now because the train is in the shop getting estimates. We'll find out by the end of the week how much how much everything costs to repair the train, whether or not it's worth it. And if it's worth it, I'll pay everything. If it's not worth it, we'll sell it for parts. But right now, everything last night was perfect for the Phillies. You win one, the Mets lose one, you're now 2.5 back, and you're playing the Mets later on this week. I'm going to stand by what I said yesterday. If I get overly hyped, Chunas Train, Connor Thomas, my word is true, gets to slap me in the face. And I'm not going to let that happen because I, quite frankly, don't want to get smacked in the face.
Oh, come on.
But I just will say, yesterday was perfect for the Phillies. Connor Thomas, before we get to the Sixers and the Eagles as well, I have a couple things related for both of those two teams. Your thoughts so far, day one in the books of business week for the Phillies? Everything you needed to go happen, right?
Well, the result couldn't have been better. You won a game. The Mets lost a game. That's, on paper, that's what you wanted to see.
Of course.
Now, how the Phillies got to that win is something that we're going to have to discuss over the course of this show. Because
why?
The manager, once again, more times than sometimes. And you'd imagine with a manager that has the resume that Joe Girardi has, every once in a while the guy's going to make mistakes. But this year,
it's been all season.
It's been way too often that this guy makes a move and everyone is scratching their heads. Why the hell is he doing what he's doing?
Yeah.
So yeah, the result I'm happy with. The process to get there still needs some work.
Listen, the Ranger Suarez, I guess they had a plan, right? They said it from the very beginning, 3 innings. I think it's ridiculous, Connor. Don't get me wrong. He only had 33 pitches. If you're only 33 pitches in, that should change your plan a little bit. If he's at 45 pitches, the plan yesterday was 3 innings or 45 pitches. Well, yeah, he got to the 3 innings, but he wasn't close to the 45 pitches. He had another inning in him, clearly. Now, Neris pitched well coming out of the pen, so there we go. But then, Eniel De Los Santos stinks. We all know that, right?
Yes.
He has pitched in mop-up roles all season long. He had about, I believe, 6 straight appearances where he allowed an earned run. This was just last week. I know he came out and pitched pretty well over the weekend, but again, whatever. Eniel De Los Santos stinks. And you bring him out in a one-run ball game or a tie game. Like, what are you doing here, Joe? You knew it was a bullpen game. You should have your best arms ready to go. Not Eniel De Los Santos. What is he doing? Which is why, Connor, it's business week, and I'm not off the train. The train's just getting the estimates right now. But I watch this team, and I go, man, there's a lot of positive vibes. And I don't know if it's I rubbed off on people. Maybe people are seeing the light or something. Because when the Chunas train first started, there's a lot of kickback to it. And now all of a sudden, it seems like everybody is sky-high confidence with the Phillies. Do you understand why? Because I don't get it.
No. Like,
I really don't get
it. No, we talked about it yesterday. And the road that this team still has to go down to play competitive baseball, not even September, late into this month. And it's a difficult road, regardless of how easy their schedule is. I don't know what's changed from the team that we just watched drop 2 of 3 to the Pirates and stay consistently at .500 like since the All-Star break. I don't know what's changed, and I don't know where this positivity is coming from, but I sense it too. I see what you're talking about.
Well, dude, for 8 hours yesterday, calls on this show, calls on Mike Missanelli's show. I was on the road till I was in the car until about 4 o'clock yesterday. So I can tell you, 2 hours I listened to. And 2 hours I heard a lot of confidence. There were a few callers that said they thought the season was over, but there were a lot of people that called into Mike yesterday that were still confident with this team. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be confident, because you know how I feel. I just need to see what happens this week. But you know how I feel. I think this is a winnable division. The Mets fans, or the people that have told me the Mets are far superior to the Phillies, if they were far superior to the Phillies, they would not be only 2.5 games up right now. They themselves would not be having the same issues the Phillies are having. The Mets are not like this world better team than the Phillies. They are better record-wise. I like their rotation more than the Phillies, but DeGrom's been banged up a lot this season. He's gone to the IL 3 times. And that's not something we can just ignore. Like, oh, well, when he comes back, yeah, he's going to come back. But what's there telling me that he won't go to the IL a fourth time this season? It's a possibility. And the lineup for the Mets has been inconsistent all season. Just like the Phillies lineup has been inconsistent all season. Both teams, out of all the other leaders in their divisions, compared to those teams, the Phillies stink. The Mets stink. This division stinks. Which is why this division is still up for grabs. That's why I, like, you know how I stand, but there are a lot of people so far, 2 days in to this week, now that we're on Tuesday, where the confidence seems a little bit more sky high for the Phillies. And it's shocking to me.
Yeah. See, you ask, do I understand it? And I don't. I don't get why people are in that camp, but I'm kind of glad they are. Like, to me, the Phillies are in sports limbo right now. They're the constant 500. They win some great comebacks. They lose some awful games to some bad teams. And they end up where they are now and where they've been multiple times since the All-Star break at 500 even. So you could be in either camp. Like, they're fading back and forth above 500 one game, back to 500, below right. 500 two games, win two games. So I can see there's an argument to be on either side.
There is. But what I'm saying is, and what I said from the very beginning is, what you just said about the Phillies, same thing's happening with the Mets. It's the exact same thing. It's not 500, but it's 2.5 games ahead of the Phillies. 3.5, 4.5, 3.5, 2.5. Like, they're not a good enough team either, which is why I say, hey, let's see what happens this week. That's where we're starting with the Phillies, 610-632-0975. How are we feeling today? Are you trying to give me an update? What's going on, Bob? Bob's trying to, like, do running motions.
Oh, do we have a 40? Hang on. Let me get my...
It's happened.
Uh-oh.
The winner has been crowned.
Hang on. We gotta
get. Who's your guy's bet?
There you go.
I was Pat.
I had Jamie.
You had Jamie?
I did.
Connor, you are the loser.
I told you. Yeah.
Pat squished him.
I told you.
He squished him.
Beat him by about 5 or 6 yards.
Yeah.
Had him right off the get-go.
He beat him by daylight?
He got a good start. What's that?
He beat him by daylight?
Beat him by a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good margin. It was never in doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a knockout first round.
Jamie still has the injured toe.
And how long was it? 40 yards?
Yeah, we did 40 yards.
If it was 80 yards, I think Jamie would have won.
The race got longer, Jamie got slower.
Wait, so what time are we looking at? Did we have an official time?
I put it at like a 5-2.
Did we time this?
It was my job to time it, and I messed up.
Bobby.
But I started the race.
How do you mess up hitting the stop at the start?
So now we know that Pat won.
Pat is your winner. Congratulations, Pat Egan.
Cash in your check.
Sorry to interrupt you, Andrew.
That's okay.
Have a great day, Andy.
I was about to get into a really big NBA conversation, Bob, and
you just threw
me off the rails.
Sorry to all your listeners.
I'm going to tell Chuck.
I apologize. I'll call him now and tell him to reprimand me.
See you, Bob.
All right, later.
Have a wonderful day.
Bye, Bobby.
Team Pat, I'm telling you.
Damn it, Jamie.
I told you.
I had $100 riding on that.
Yeah, did you?
No.
I didn't think so. All right, so that's...
Also my money on the pool game this weekend.
That's where we're starting with the Phillies. I want to know where you're feeling today, because yesterday it was confidence sky high from everybody I talked to except for a handful of callers. Same with Mike the first 2 hours of his show that I was listening to. The YouTube chat right now, I'm paying attention to a lot of people saying just park the train or get rid of the train. The train is done. I don't know. It's crazy. The YouTube world is on one side, Twitter's on another side, and the callers are confidence, sky high, 610-632-0975. On to the NBA free agency yesterday. My God, is there illegal tampering?
6 o'clock, we had our first move.
No, dude, they just did all the deals at the same time in a matter of a second.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't believe that?
The NBA, just get rid of the term illegal tampering or legal tampering, because at 6 o'clock, Shams Charania was already announcing deals. But it was fascinating yesterday. A lot of guys going all over the place. And we can recap NBA free agency, the beginning of it, all over the place. Some guys making monsters amount of money. Good for the former process guys of TJ McConnell and Rashawn Holmes. They got the bag. I'm happy for them. Doug McDermott is getting $42 million. So the NBA is a little bit wild. That's crazy. But really, I saw a lot of... It's almost like the opposite spectrum here. The confidence is sky high with the Phillies, which I'm happy for. That's awesome. And it's a big week, and we should get behind the team. I'm just throwing the Homer hat out the window right now. But I saw a lot of negativity in Sixers Twitter yesterday because the Sixers didn't make any moves. And, I saw so many people tweet, "Are you awake?" at D. Morey, and all that kind of stuff. And I will tell you right now, there was not one move that happened in the NBA yesterday that bummed me out that the Sixers didn't get him. Not one. I didn't want Kyle Lowry here for 3 years, $30 million a year. Like, I did not want to spend $90 million over a course of 3 years to the 35-year-old Kyle Lowry. Nobody thought that Chris Paul was coming here, but I didn't want to give Chris Paul a contract that took him till he was 40 years old. A lot of guys went back to their respective teams, and the guys that did jump around, who were you really bummed out by? And I saw a lot of people in the world of Sixers Twitter upset. Now, I will tell you, did I roll my eyes when I saw the Sixers are re-signing Furkan Korkmaz? Yes, Connor, I rolled my eyes. And I know you're about to buy the Korkmaz jersey because you know he's going to be here for the next 3 years.
Yeah, pop the cork, baby.
I understand his role in this team, three-point shooter, but I also understand his extreme defensive liability, and he can disappear as good as anyone. Now, I will also say he played very well in the playoffs. I may give credit where credit is due, guy, right? And Furkan Korkmaz, who I have my doubts on, did step up in the playoffs. But really, the only thing that happened Sixers related was the fact that they signed Korkmaz. And everything else, like, are we really bummed out that Dwight Howard's gone? Like, Dwight Howard was the best backup that Joel Embiid has had so far in his NBA career. Amir Johnson was just terrible. I thought Rashawn Holmes should have gotten more run. He didn't. Look, he got paid by Sacramento. But Dwight Howard going to Lakers, what do you think he's doing? He's ring chasing. And quite frankly, Dwight Howard got on my nerves half the time. The way he picked up three fouls in a matter of 5 seconds. Like, he got on my nerves a lot, and he was terrible against the Atlanta Hawks. There was just, like, I wanted Trevor Ariza 6 years ago. He's going to the Lakers. I wanted Wayne Ellington 5 years ago. He's going to the Lakers. All these guys that are done or have a little bit left in the tank, they're going to the Lakers because they're ring chasing, and I don't blame any of those guys. But what are we really bummed out about? A trade wasn't going to happen yesterday for Ben Simmons. But here's what my biggest problem is, Connor. Right away, I get a tweet from Philly Rolls, right as the show started. Philadelphia isn't a destination city, which is why nobody signed here. Embrace the Ben, keep them both. I don't know who them both means. I'm guessing that's Ben and Tobias or Ben. Nobody's trying to get rid of Joel. But here we are right away out the gate. Philadelphia's not a destination city. That's why nobody's coming here. Who are you bummed out by? Connor, were you upset? I know you were popping corks yesterday. But other than that, were you bummed out that anybody didn't sign with the Sixers?
No, not at all. What are you looking at when you're looking at these guys that you want to sign? Like, you already have so many big contracts between the big three of Embiid, Harris, and Simmons. You're very clearly, I don't know if people have forgotten this, you might not have noticed, they're shopping Ben Simmons. They're looking for a monster deal on, yes, Ben Simmons, who's a big contract. There's smoke around Tobias Harris, who's a max contract. Like, they're trying to figure out the financials of this team in the trade market, so they're not going to go out and sign marquee free agents because they don't have the ability to in the cap, and they don't want to change their flexibility before they make these deals, or at least attempt to make these deals. Were you guys waking up and thinking that, like, I don't know, that Chris Paul was coming here?
No, like, I mean, I just used Chris Paul as an example.
I know,
because he's 40,
but I'm asking,
he's going to be 40 when it's done.
I'm asking the people, like, what did they expect them to realistically do that,
right,
they didn't do?
Like, I looked at some of these moves, and I'm like, all right, I don't know if anybody was in on Bobby Portis, but yeah, he went back to the team that he just won the championship with.
Were we upset that the Sixers didn't sign Mike Muscala? Are we upset that they didn't sign Solomon Hill? Are we upset they didn't sign Evan Fournier, who I actually do like? Like, I look at these, I look at some of these moves, and I saw Sixers Twitter all bummed out yesterday.
Right. Like, what, do you want to throw more than $90 million at Duncan Robinson to try and get him away from the Heat?
Yeah, come
like,
on.
What do you want these guys to do? You want TJ back for $37 million instead of what he got? Like, God, there's only so much you can do with the contracts you currently have.
Right.
And clearly the focus right now is moving one or two of those big pieces.
It could be better, Tobias, and we'll find out. And this is a game that we have to be patient about. Now, I got a couple of tweets that I'll get to coming up. Coco Jambo just tweets in, oh, Lord, please don't make this a four-hour show about is Philadelphia a destination for a free agency. No, I'm not doing that. I'm just saying I saw that tweet from the guy Philly Rolls. I go, really? Whether it is or it isn't, those guys that signed yesterday, I did not lose a second of sleep over at all. And yet there are a lot of people that were bummed out. I think a lot of people thought that something big was going to happen with the Sixers yesterday. Don't worry about it. Relax. Be patient. It's going to happen. 610-632-0975. So the Phillies, where's your confidence level today? Because it was sky high yesterday and everything went perfectly for the Phillies yesterday. Winning a game, Mets losing a game. I got a couple of tweets doubting the Phillies that I'll read to you on the other side. Also, I have something on the Eagles later on today because, my God, A, did it feel like football weather this morning? But B, with the football weather came a lot of football excitement for the Eagles. And I heard it on this morning show, the John Kincaid show. The Eagles hype, as I expected, is starting to creep out. He's Connor Thomas. I'm Andrew Salchunas. Cuz will be back tomorrow, 10 o'clock hour, brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment, no payments, and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Also, can tell you about how you can win a pair of Phillies tickets for this Sunday's game against the Mets. I'll let you know more about that on the other side. I'm Andrew Salchunas right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Andrew Salchunas filling in for the Cuz. 11 o'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. Now, during the break, the best email is always the, hey, one of the radio stations got food dropped off. Now, of course, we are 97.5 The Fanatic, but there's other radio stations under the Beasley umbrella here. You know, we got XTU, we got MMR, we got Ben FM, we got MGK. We got the AM stations are now here. They moved across the street. So the email is always great when somebody got free food and that radio station has gotten their share. And now it's, hey, everybody else, come on down. Whatever's left, you can have. So we got the email. And usually I don't eat this early because I already, I have the shift where I can eat breakfast before coming in here. You don't. You have to eat here because you're up at 3:30 in the morning. But it was the perfect summer food.
Oh, yeah.
It was brisket, but it tasted like pulled pork, which I'm a big pulled pork guy. The coleslaw and the mac and cheese. Now, every time I have the coleslaw, I can't help but think about the coleslaw slander.
That's what takes place. There's a lot of anti-coleslaw.
And I don't get it. I love the coleslaw. Love it. And unfortunately, a lot of restaurants screw it up at times. You know, you get the little side one, you take a bite, you're like, oh, this is gross. But there's a lot of quality coleslaw.
Well, yeah, you can't just put the vinegar on the lettuce and just serve
call it.
It
a day.
Like, that's not it. You got to have a little touch with the coleslaw. But a good coleslaw,
it's amazing.
It's a tasty item.
My grandmother, God rest her soul, she was a big coleslaw maker that was delicious. And she had a specific recipe that my mom now makes it. It's fantastic. I know Tyrone is anti-coleslaw. and I get in this debate with him every single time it comes up when I'm working with him, that coleslaw is a very valuable piece to the picnic.
Yeah, Tyrone is anti, like, hot dog, too, though. There's some summer foods that he's big time out on. But no, he's anti hot dog in general.
Well, because he says if you can make brisket, you might as well make a brisket, not a hot dog. Which I understand, but I'm a big... I'm a big
He's out on coleslaw. He's out on hot dogs. It's like anti-summer right there.
Yeah, I don't get it. So for those of you who have the coleslaw slander on a regular basis, I quite frankly don't understand it because I think it's fantastic. I just saw a tweet pop up here that people will care about, I guess. Matt Lombardo, who used to work here at the Fanatic way back when, he's now covering the NFL and the Giants for Fansided. And he's at the Giants camp, and he puts out a tweet, massive fight here at Giants camp. Corey Clement busted a big run. Logan Ryan leveled Evan Engram late. Somehow Daniel Jones ended up on the bottom of the pile. And now Joe Judge lines up the entire team for 100-yard gassers. So I got into it with Anthony last week that I think the hardcore football guy head coach, not Nick Sirianni who loves football, but I mean the Dan Campbells of we're going to bite their kneecaps off. I think that's getting played out. Like, I think nowadays, Doug Peterson, who obviously he knows the game of football, but one of the things that every player under Doug Peterson loved was that he was such a good locker room guy and, you know, I would say, I guess, friend of his players, which is why I was pumped up that Nick Sirianni, you were upset about it, was wearing the Brandon Graham t-shirt.
Yeah, still a violation.
I'm so happy that Nick Sirianni wore the Brandon Graham t-shirt. But now Joe Judge, listen, fights happen in camp. You going to punish the guys, make them run gassers?
Right, like what is this, high school?
Well, that's the thing.
Come on, man. Like, 100-yard gassers.
And I know Joe Judge is a local guy, and I can't root for him because he's the head coach of the Giants, but hey, if he has success, good for him. He's a local guy. But I'm telling you that I don't know how much that still sits with players nowadays.
I don't think it sits well with them at all. Could you imagine making the type of money you're making and having a coach try and run you 100-yard gassers?
Now, I respect it because he's still trying to take control, but that's just not the way it is anymore.
Right, and you're these guys who are absolutely shredded, in incredible shape, some of the most athletic, in-shape humans on the planet. They're guys that come out of the NFL, and in the offseason, they like compete to qualify for the Olympics. And you like running 100-yard gassers, like you do that in high school to get your team in better shape and also punish them. In the NFL, these guys are in good enough shape. All you're doing is wasting their time and running them to try and prove a point, and I don't think it sits well with professional players.
So apparently some of the players didn't even finish their run. They started walking toward the end of the 100-yard gasser that they had to do, and now Joe Judge is making them do push-ups for not pushing through the 100-yard run. And I'm telling you, I know that Anthony and I got into it last week because of the whole, like, oh, can you not be a super football guy anymore? I don't know if you can. I don't know.
You can be at like the high school and college level, right, but like
there are guys that are already not finishing their 100-yard dash.
Like you got Saquon Barkley doing 100-yard like gassers. You got him doing push-ups. Like, what are you doing up there?
I just wonder. And maybe we can continue that conversation at 610-632-0975. Whether that sort of, I don't know, that mentality, that toughness still survives nowadays as a head coach. Now, I do miss the days of a baseball manager hitting the Gatorade cooler with a bat. Like, I miss those days. I feel like there are too many guys out there nowadays that are friends with people.
Right.
But that might also be what works. I don't know what happens behind closed doors. I don't know if Joe Girardi is flipping tables inside the locker room or the clubhouse of the Philadelphia Phillies. I don't know. We're not behind closed doors, and there's not many reporters going out there anymore because it's all Zoom in baseball. But I just don't know how the tough guy thing, it doesn't work in the NBA anymore. That's gone. There's no more NBA tough guy head coach. Like, those guys don't survive anymore.
Well, you got Thibodeau, and he's like the only one.
How do you do?
Made the playoffs. Five seed.
Okay. And everybody thought they were this darling in the NBA, and they lost in the first round. I'm just saying, I don't think the tough guy thing works anymore in sports for a lot of head coach, like at least as a head coach. Now, I would like it if a player stepped up every once in a while and said something. I'm not saying choke out a player like Papelbon and Harper a few years ago when they were on the Nationals, but it feels like there's a lot of guys that aren't talking much on the side, unless they don't want to do it publicly. There was the JT Realmuto, people reported that he had a team meeting the other day. I don't know what was said. I don't know what the atmosphere was like. But I'm telling you, as much as I respect Joe Judge trying to do the old school stuff, there's already players that are not listening to his commands.
Yeah, and we got actually two nice case studies in the NFL this year, because we have Joe Judge again, who's doing this in New York and did like stuff similar to this last year. And then you got Dan Campbell up in Detroit. Who, did you see the video that came out of him having his guys in lines doing up downs?
Yes.
Like it's fall training for high school team, and they're trying to go out for the freshman team. Like, dude, you have pro players doing up downs, like running in place and dropping to the ground and having to get
back
up.
But I know that there are people, football fans, Eagles fans, that are probably like, yeah, that's good. I like that they do that. These guys are pampered nowadays. They are. And I'm with you. I'm tired of a lot of players being pampered. Ben Simmons is a pampered basketball player, right? And sometimes it's up to the player to take that next step. Joel Embiid, not a hot take here, has been pampered his entire career. But it was up to Joel Embiid to take that next step to becoming a top three player in the NBA. Like, he did that on his own. Ben Simmons is not. But Joel Embiid did not take that next step because Brett Brown yelled at him. No, it was he himself. I just wonder how that survives nowadays in sports. I really am curious to see if Joe Judge can figure things out with that kind of a personality. 610-632-0975. Let's go back to the phones. Al in the cell. Al, you're on the Fanatic. Hey, Al. Going once. You got me on mute, Al.
Hello.
Going twice. We'll put Al on hold, see if we can clear that up. Let's go to Ben. Ben, you're on the Fanatic. Ben.
Hello. What's How you doing,
man?
Andrew?
How are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks. Listen, I've been listening to you guys. I really appreciate your show. It's a great show.
Thank you.
I have a question with the Sixers.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any chance possible that they can get Kawhi Leonard?
There's a chance. He opted out. I mean, he's a free agent. There's a chance. Like, let's see what kind of money they do. Here's what they're going to have to do. They're going to have to clear up some stuff, which is why, you know, there was the smoke yesterday that Tobias Harris could be traded, because obviously it would be more of a salary dump to try to get rid of him. Ben Simmons could be traded. But if they trade these guys for other max contract players like a Bradley Beal or a Damian Lillard, I wonder if they will be able to make everything work financially, because you already have a max contract guy in Joel Embiid. But there is a chance. I can't say there's no chance of doing it.
Right, because I thought maybe they could trade, like you're saying, Tobias Harris and Ben Simmons, and then work out some type of sign and trade with another team, and, you know, how to get other teams involved.
Yeah, I mean, there's a chance. I will say highly unlikely. Like, I don't believe Kawhi Leonard is going to be a Sixer. Just like I didn't believe that LeBron James was going to be a Sixer when he was a free agent a few years ago before he signed with the Lakers. But there was a chance. You know, it made sense, the whole Ben Simmons is here, Rich Paul, all that kind of stuff. It made sense, but I didn't think it was going to happen. They could get Kawhi Leonard, but I don't think it's going to happen, Ben.
You don't think it's going to happen? Okay, appreciate it. Also, is it possible I can get FanFest tickets?
Yeah, man, of course. I'll put you on hold. See, it's that easy. It's that easy. Just ask me if you want FanFest tickets. That's all. All right, I'm going to give you a bust out top 10 Phillies trivia question.
Oh, what do we got?
Now, this is one where there's not that random name in it. Okay?
Okay. So it's just big names.
So you can take a stab at it.
All right.
Who has hit the most sacrifice flies in Phillies franchise history? And I want you to try to get as many in the top 10 as possible. In case you're just tuning in, we have a pair of Phillies tickets every single day this week for Sunday's Phillies-Mets game. The 105 start, Zach Wheeler will be on the mound. Hopefully the Phillies could be pushing for the NL East, the top of the NL East with that series. So it could be a hot ticket as the week continues to go on. Obviously it's a hotter ticket today than it was yesterday, now that it's just 2.5 games back. But I have the top 10 of every statistical category, hitting and pitching for the Phillies. And I'm going to give you some random questions through it. And if you get it right, you'll be in the running for that pair of tickets. So just call in at 610-632-0975. But Connor, give me a couple, or try to get all 10 top 10 sacrifice flies in Philly's history? I know it's a totally random question.
All right. Schmidt?
Yes.
Are you telling me where these guys rank or no?
Yeah, Schmidt's number one with 108.
Rollins?
Jimmy Rollins is tied for sixth with 51.
Okay. We'll go Ashburn.
No.
Really? Howard.
Yes. Third with 55.
Okay. Rollins was so low. Utley?
Utley second with 67.
Wow, Utley with a lot of sack flies.
Well, he had guys on base in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Bobby Abreu.
Bobby Abreu fourth with 54. So you have one more guy in the top five you need to get.
One more guy in the
top. He's fifth with 53. Before your time, our time.
Before our time. We're getting caught up here. I just throw names out, but.
But a power hitter before our time. Has a food joint at Citizens Bank Park.
What? Now you're throwing me off.
He's got a food joint in Citizens Bank Park. The barbecue spot. Bulls barbecue.
This is bad work by me.
Greg Luzinski.
This is bad work by me.
Greg Luzinski.
I've never tried Bulls barbecue.
It's good.
I got to go.
It's good.
I hang out at Harry DeCase.
It's food inside a ballpark. It's good.
Yeah. Barbecue at the ballpark. I go hot dog.
The other ones will, I guess, be a little more tough. Rollins is tied with Gary Maddux with 51.
Okay.
And then you got Bob Boone, Von Hayes, and how about Liebe? Mike Lieberthal.
Oh, Lieberthal. Lieberthal is on the top 10 list of sack flies.
Oh, yeah. Totally random sacrifice flies. But there you go.
Okay.
See, now, if you called in, you gave me one of those.
You said there are no bust-out names on there.
Yeah, but none of them are like, it's not like Tomas Perez is on there.
Yeah,
I
should have got Luzinski, but like,
it's not like Tomas
Hayes. You thought I was pulling Von Hayes out?
Yeah.
Come on.
By the way, Andre Dillard on the sideline during practice today with a hand issue people are pointing out to. Jordan Mailata apparently having an incredible day at practice today. Actually pancaked Brandon Graham at one point because today's the first day with pads, which is why you're seeing fights with the Giants, I guess. I don't see why Mailata won't be the starting left tackle.
There's absolutely no reason.
Like, he was good last year. He was good. Was he an elite left tackle last year? No. He was good. And he should be it should be his job to lose. I get having a competition. It's great. A former first-round pick and Andre Dillard. But even when Dillard played 2 years ago, and when Mailata played last year, Mailata looked better at left tackle.
Right. But if I'm the Eagles, here's what I'm doing. I'm absolutely calling it a competition all the way through camp, even if it's not. Because if Deshaun Watson comes available and you want a starting player, you can say, hey, well, we got Dillard and we kind of like him more than Mailata. But okay, here you go. We'll give you a great tackle. Yeah, he's a first-round pick. And you make it a competition so that if the Texans come calling, or rather you call the Texans, you can sell Dillard as that potential starting player.
Okay.
That's what I'm doing if I'm them.
More from Giants camp. And I love this because I want the Giants to fail.
Just feeding on their downfall.
Joe Judge has now sent all the coaches off the field.
Oh, my God.
And it has all the players on the sidelines, and he's ripping into them for what happened.
It's like a bad football Hallmark movie up there.
But, like, again, I don't know if that works. I really don't. A man had them doing Oklahoma drills last year. I don't know if that works in the NFL. It may work during OTAs when you have a lot of the rookies there because they're fresh out of college. But setting off, you know, getting rid of Kelvin Benjamin, and by the way, that report, and I can't believe it. I heard a reporter talking about that report was false. He didn't steal food. he just didn't get his weight down.
I was going to say, Kelvin Benjamin could probably use the gassers.
That wasn't true, but he just didn't make weight. And Joe Judge sending him off the field, really, like cutting him mid-practice. Like he was dressed, Kelvin Benjamin.
Send him home.
I'm telling you, man, I know Kelvin Benjamin is no, I don't know.
But he's a name that's been around the league. That's
right.
Like been a player
he's
in the league.
He's a veteran in the league, and you're just kicking him off the field. I don't think Joe Judge is going to fare too well. We'll see. I could be wrong, but I don't think that tough guy attitude works anymore. Let's see if other people think it does. Let's go to Jay in Willingboro. Jay, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, guys. So I was listening on the points that you guys are making about, like, if the tough guys can be in the side of football and stuff. I do agree that it doesn't pass for today's football. So I think a better way to, like, I guess, like, if players are fighting in, like, hands and stuff or doing things that they're not supposed to do, just hit them with a quick fine. Just like anybody, like, if you start losing money or is, like, a detriment to your job, you start acting right. So, I mean, that's
now, the here's the one thing. I don't even know if I would punish them for fun. Like, they're all putting help, you know, pads on for the first time since the end of last season. And it's hot out, and they're getting angry, and somebody probably took a shot, a cheap shot, and one guy's probably thinking, yo, dude, it's only the fourth day of training camp. Can you calm down a little bit? I wouldn't start then giving them fines, because now they're going to be upset that you're going in their pocket. I get what you're saying, but I wouldn't do that either, because you don't want to have a broken locker room before the season even starts. Once you start messing with money, I think people are going to be pretty pissed off.
Yeah, I do agree. You do hold off on that, but you do put it in the air, like, okay, like, let's not get carried away, guys. Like, we are here to handle business. And when you guys get into skirmishes like that, you guys are taking away time from the practice and everything like that. But just over to my Eagles point, I've never been so excited for 6 wins in my life before. Like, only thing I need them to do is to get to those 6 wins, improve from last year. And Jalen just has to – well, if he is the quarterback for us in the future, if we don't get Deshaun or whatever – I just need to see flashes for him, like the turnovers, keep those downs. Like if he has to be a bit of a game manager, I guess, to like a glorified one or whatever, how you want to say, like a Baker Mayfield S kind of player, then go ahead, fine, do that. Just control the turnovers.
Right. And then the team can then build a pretty stellar defense. Jay, do you want a trivia question for a chance to win a pair of Phillies tickets?
Actually, I'm going to have to pass. I'm like atrocious on baseball. All I'm right, new to the 4-for-4 land, so.
But I'll do this. Do you have FanFest tickets yet?
Yes, I actually do.
Oh, well, then I can't give you anything. Have a good day. I'm just trying to be nice here.
Wow.
I appreciate the call, Jay. I already got the FanFest.
Nah, of course.
He's already got the FanFest tickets. Nah, I just want to be nice. I want to give him something, but. I mean, like, I'm. It's not that you can't be tough anymore, but, like, what Joe Judge is doing, I don't think works in the NFL. Like, Nick Sirianni is, to me so far, the perfect example. They had a bad practice day 3. In the middle of practice, he blew the whistle, stopped it, brought everybody in, and ripped into his team a little bit, and then they continued practice. Nick Sirianni, there's videos popping out left and right of him being very hands-on with the receivers or being very hands-on with the cornerbacks and doing all kinds. Like, he is doing the drills with the players. That's awesome. Like, that's cool. And if I'm a player, I go, oh, I rock with this. Like, I'm glad that Nick Sirianni is covering me one-on-one, or I'm covering him one-on-one. Like, I like that. But then once Nick Sirianni starts going, 100-yard dash. Oh, you didn't finish? Drop and give me 20. Oh, you didn't make weight on day one? You're out of here. I'm sorry that you're already dressed up. Like, I just think that kind of attitude, that kind of mentality just doesn't work anymore. It did 50 years ago, it did 20 years ago, it probably did 10 years ago. But nowadays with teams, and I don't mean like the Eagles, I mean your own team, your camp, the camp of Ben Simmons, the camp of Joel Embiid, the camp, like football, I think is still the toughest coached out of the other four, I do, or hockey might be. I think hockey might be number one, because you kind of have to bark the entire time.
Right.
For like line changes and all kinds of stuff. But I don't know. I don't think that same toughness that we saw before out of a football coach is there anymore. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm not saying that that's a good thing. I miss the days. Maybe Bobby Knight is a little too far throwing chairs onto the damn court. But I miss the day where, you know, my coach gets animated. Like, I miss that. Like, all right, Lou Piniella got ejected, it seemed like, every other game when he was managing the Mariners. Like, maybe not that anymore. But a little dust kick, I'm all right with that. You know, making a guy do laps, fine. But when you do an entire team has to run a 100-yard gasser because a couple guys got in a fight, I don't know, man. I don't know if it works anymore. Talk about it. 610-632-0975. Gary tweets in that Joe Judge is going to make them run a 4 a.m. run at Gettysburg. Just like remember the Titans. If you want to get a chance to win Phillies tickets, I'll give you a Phillies question. If you get it right, you'll be in the running. Phillies Mets this Sunday at 1:05. 610-632-0975. Also, at 12 o'clock, at the very beginning of the next segment, I'm going to tell you all that it is time to give someone credit.
that nobody wanted to give credit to from the very beginning. And I'm also going to tell you how he played you and how he played the rest of the NBA based off of like a 5-second conversation that I had with that guy. All right, 610-632-0975. We've got two open lines right now if you want to grab them. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for the Cuz right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.